in complete dependence, dear friends, upon the Lord to help us. I'd ask your prayerful attention by way of a text to four words we find in the Epistle of James, chapter 5 and verse 16. Epistle of James, chapter 5, verse 16. Four words. Pray one for another. Pray one for another. The whole verse reads, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Pray one for another. Dear friends, there are many exhortations, godly exhortations, in the Holy Scriptures, both Old Testament and New Testament. And the Epistle of James contains many of them. James is very bold in his expression of what we might call practical religion. But dear friends, although they may be termed practical religion, they are not legal exhortations, as if by doing these we shall gain access into heaven. The exhortations of James and others in the epistles and the words of Jesus, they have the same foundation, and that foundation is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and faith in God. Faith in God who can do all things, and faith in Jesus Christ through whom we can ask all things. Jesus said, didn't he? Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, I will do it. And dear friends, if we ask truly in the name of Jesus, we ask his will to be done. We have ambassadors, don't we, in other countries? And they put forward their work and their words in accordance with the one who has sent them. And they communicate with other countries according to the will of the one who has sent them. And dear friends, when we come to prayer, we come believing in the one who has caused us to come to prayer. We come in the name of Jesus and seeking his will to be done. Asking of the Father for his mercy, for his grace, and for the supply of all of our needs. Prayer is a vital privilege, isn't it, of every one who believes in God. And true prayer, dear friends, is not from our heads. We often may say our prayers, but do we ever pray? As the hymn writer put it, do the wishes of our hearts go with the words we say? Oh, dear friends, I remember when I was young at school, we used to repeat the Lord's Prayer, as it's called. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It was just uttered through head learning from our lips. It meant nothing more to us. Dear friends, if our prayers continue like that, then we haven't really prayed. We think of the Pharisees' prayer, don't we, which Jesus spoke of. Yeah, we gave thanks unto God for what he was and what he did, and that he was not like others whom he despised and judged. The Lord Jesus said he prayed within himself. He didn't go any more than vain words from his lips if he uttered them aloud. Everything else was just in his mind, or self-deceit upon his heart. But the other who was there came in, that publican, came in very guilty, a guilty sinner, a needy sinner, smote upon his breast, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." That was from the heart. And the Lord answered that prayer. Oh, dear friends, how the scriptures exhort us in the way we ought to pray. We find many prayers, don't we, for oneself, besides one for another. James here, in this portion we read, says, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray." Well, we had an afflicted one this morning, didn't we, with Jehoshaphat? Oh, yes, he had sinned. He'd made affinity with Ahab. He'd been deceived by Ahab. He took no heed to the word of God which he'd asked for. He went foolishly, following an unbeliever. And it nearly brought him to death, the end of his life. But in that last moment, we read, he cried. And the Lord helped him. Oh, dear friends, what a privilege it is, isn't it, to be able to pray unto the Lord our God, knowing, oh, where he hath begun a good work in us. That is faith in Jesus Christ and faith in his own goodness and mercy, that has said, "I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy." His name, goodness. His name, merciful and goodness. Dear friends, what a great God we have, as is shown in the scriptures. One who hears and answers prayer. Undeservedly, we receive of him those things which save us, even from death, destruction, and despair. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Oh, dear friends, Hezekiah was afflicted. "Lord, undertake for me. Pay the price. Oh, dear, pay the debts which I owe and I cannot pay myself." That's what undertake means. Be a surety for me. And as we mentioned this morning, Peter sinking, "Lord, save me." That woman with the issue of her daughter back at home, who was mentally afflicted, "Lord, help me." Oh, dear friends, these times of affliction, when we can pour out our hearts before him. The disciples said to Jesus, "Lord, teach me how to pray. Teach us to pray." And Jesus did. Oh, Jesus taught them that prayer I've mentioned, which is so often repeated at times of formal prayer. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Yes, thy will be done. Concerning ourselves, give us this day our daily bread. Concerning ourselves, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. Dear friends, it's a very solemn word that follows that, isn't there? Jesus said, if ye do not forgive other men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. Or when we pray, dear friends, how we have to be mindful of the things we ask for. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, do we? For if we don't, he will not answer our prayer. Oh, the other day I had a telephone call from someone who was rather distressed. He said, he confessed he'd spoken very harshly and wrongly to another person. And then afterwards, he sought their forgiveness. And they said to him, I shall never forgive you for saying what you've said. I shall never forgive you. And he was supposedly the one who was a Christian. Oh, dear friends, how solemn, isn't it, when our own hearts and minds rule what we intend to do and say and speak. Dear friends, it's more solemn when we do not forgive those who have spoken against us. Lead us not into temptation. Dear friends, we can be so afflicted, can't we? Poor Jehoshaphat was led into temptation. Tempted to deny the word of guidance which he'd been given. And now it brought him to the brink of death. Dear friends, no wonder the word says pray without ceasing. There's so much each day, each moment of each day, isn't it, to commit our way unto the Lord. Jesus says, when thou prayest, go into thy closet, shut thy door about thee, and the Lord that seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Not to pray like the Pharisees on the street corners and wherever that was in the marketplaces that they may receive praise of men. No. He that seeth thee in secret shall reward thee openly. So, dear friends, we are to pray for ourselves. Yes, like that publican, God be merciful to me, a sinner. If I'm to pray in faith in the name of Jesus, oh, confessing our sins, pleading for his forgiveness, his pardon and his peace. Now, dear friends, when we know that grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we know his mercy to our soul, then we're to pray one for another, that they may receive the same mercy. Oh, it isn't something that is just received of ourselves and then is hidden. Dear friends, we're to show our desire of love towards others. Thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. And dear friends, in that love, we're to seek the mercy of God for their souls. Pray one for another. You see, dear friends, this prayer, and one for another, is not a legal thing, is it? It emanates from the love shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost of Christ Jesus, the Saviour of sinners. that puts within us that peace, that pardon, that puts within us that love to the Lord through his love for us, that puts within us that joy and rejoicing, all through the blotting out of our transgressions. Dear friends, we may not enjoy that but for perhaps a short moment or a very few days, but so many other things to crowd in, isn't it, to take the sweetness away from us. But dear friends, that doesn't mean to say we're to cease praying, that the beauty of Christ which has been revealed in us shall be denied from another one. No, we're to pray that each one laid upon us shall be brought to know the same blessing as we have received, our pardon sealed and peace with God. Dear friends, it's to pray, isn't it, that they be delivered from the pit of corruption. It's to pray that they will be delivered, oh, from the judgment in that last day, the wrath of God for sin. Oh, dear friends, if we do not pray for those that are laid upon us, and it's very solemn if they never, never come to a knowledge of the truth. The scripture says we're to ask of him and he will do it. I will before this be inquired of. Yes, by the house of Israel to do it for them. The Lord calls upon us, doesn't he, to pray, to commit these things to him. Prayer appointed to convey the blessings that God designs to give. Pray one for another. Now, dear friends, these one for another are to pray for those who were laid upon our hearts. It doesn't mean to say we pray generally and openly for all the world. Jesus didn't, did he? I know we have to be cautious here. The Lord Jesus knew those that were his, and he knew those who were not his. In that lovely prayer of John 17. Oh, how he prays. I pray for these thou hast given me. I pray not for the world. I pray not for the world, but those that thou hast given me. Oh, that they be kept from the evil. That's what we need to pray for, isn't it? For ourselves, first of all, yes, and for others. To be kept from the evil. Perhaps we think of our own loved ones, those of our families, of our circle, family circle, those whom we love for the truth's sake. Dear friends, we're to pray earnestly that they be kept from the evil, because they'll be subject to temptations and evil things from within and from outside, just as we are. Oh, we have to pray to be kept for ourselves, don't we? Lord, keep us from all evil. And the pattern there with the Lord Jesus Christ, praying for those that were his. They were laid upon his heart. Yes, he knew who they were. We do not know. We do not know whose are the Lord's, do we? But if one is to be prayed for, and it's the Lord's will, he will lay it upon our hearts. They may be far off, as we say, naturally speaking, far off outside the commonwealth of Israel. Without God, without hope in this world, determined to go their own way. To keep in the broad way which leadeth through that gate of destruction into eternal damnation and that lake of fire. Oh, dear friends, they need to be prayed for earnestly, don't they? That the Lord will appear, for only he can turn them about. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. We read it. Dear friends, we do not know who the Lord's are, but if one is laid upon our heart, perhaps it is on your hearts at the moment. A loved one, they have no concern for their soul and eternity. Oh, dear friends, do continue to pray. The exercise is there within you, isn't it? I read that chapter of the Jesus's when he was in Capernaum and four carried that man sick of the palsy to Jesus. Dear friends, that word palsy means paralyzed. He could not get himself for any healing to Jesus. But those four had a great concern for him. We know not whether they were his kinsfolk or whether they were just friends. But they had a great exercise. That, oh, if they could get this one to Jesus, he would heal him of his paralysis, his palsy. And so they carried him. The door was completely surrounded by the crowd who had come to hear Jesus as he taught them. And so they climbed as it was possible there in those houses of those days up on the roof, where many people went in those days, and they dried their crops, didn't they, on the roof, and so on and so forth. And remove the tiling from the roof. Now, dear friends, that really wasn't a legal, righteous thing to do, was it? To damage someone's property. But Jesus did not rebuke them because he saw their faith. He saw they were determined by faith to get this palsied man to his feet. And when they lowered him through the roof to his feet, he said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Oh, dear friend, that was beyond what they brought that one for, wasn't it? We read here in James chapter 5, "And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." Dear friends, sickness, whatever form, is a consequence of sin, isn't it? Before Adam and Eve sinned, there was no sickness. There was no death. There was peace. There was oneness, unity with God. But following the sin of Adam and Eve, the fall of man, as we call it, the wrath of God came upon this earth. And so the judgment of God came upon all mankind, all of Adam's race. And dear friends, the consequence of that, the wrath of God, is sickness, pain, all the terrible things which are experienced. The source is in sin. Oh, what a gracious word this is. They brought this man sick of the palsy unto Jesus to be healed of his sickness. But he received a double blessing. He received the forgiveness of his sins also. And that was first and foremost. Just going back to where I came in with that example. Spiritually, dear friends, someone who is dead in trespasses and in sins, our loved ones. Oh, to bear them before the Lord in prayer. to pray one for another, knowing that they are far off and cannot pray themselves. There wasn't just one, there was four of them that carried this person. And it wasn't easy, dear friends, when we come to pray one for another. You won't find it very easy at times to continue in prayer. There'll be many obstacles to stop it. There's a hymn, isn't there? If unto Jesus thou art bound, a crowd about him will be found, attending night and day. Satan's a mighty foe. He doesn't want to lose one of those that are his. He knows the power of God to deliver. He knows the power of Christ that has destroyed his power. And he'll do his utmost so that power is not exacted on his own. But dear friends, the exhortation in Scripture is continue in prayer. Continue in prayer. Pray without ceasing. Persevere. Oh, you may have to pray at unusual times, but and perhaps in unusual positions, in ways and places. Oh, but to bear the matter before the Lord. To obtain access to the feet of Jesus. Dear friends, those labours will not be in vain. He knows those that exercise of faith. He's laid it upon you. It's the power of his Spirit that such a one shall be saved. No one gets saved accidentally, do they? No, this palsied man was one of the Lord's. And he shall come. And the means was used of these four to carry him, as we might say, in prayer, prayerfully, to the feet of Jesus. Oh, dear friends, what teaching and exhortation there is here for us, isn't there? We who know the blessing of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, to pray earnestly for those laid upon us who seem to be completely outside the knowledge of it. And we need to pray for the children and young people, don't we, as they grow up. Oh, to bring them to the dear Saviour's feet. I remember a minister talking once to me, and he had two daughters. One of them was quite rebellious when it comes to going to the house of God. The other one went so readily. Oh, he said how earnestly he prayed for the one who was rebellious. And later on in her life she changed. Oh, she became a member of a church. The other one who seemed to have been gone so well, she went completely the other way. He said, I prayed for the one more earnestly, I neglected the other. Oh, how cautious and how careful we have to be, don't we? We make our own minds up, we make our own understanding. Oh, pray one for another, all. Those who seem far off and those who seem nigh, to be kept. Kept in the way everlasting. We're praying, dear friends, for their eternal good. The good of their soul. Pray one for another. You know, at times, perhaps in, what I say, in a chapel, as we are now, there's several of us here, isn't there? Or do we pray one for another? Then, dear friends, we need to be mindful one of another. Not to get involved and intermeddle with other people's ways, no. But if we see something that is troubling another, oh, how to pray earnestly the Lord to deal with that trouble. It was the example of Jesus, wasn't it? Oh, he said to his disciples, Satan hath desired to have you, to sift you as wheat. And then to Peter, knowing the temptation that was going to be before him. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. Oh, dear friends, how we have to pray that, don't we, one for another. Those in trials and tribulations, those in the exercise of their faith, those who come into what we might call deep waters of experience. Pray for them that their faith fail not. Oh, Peter had to go through that great trial of his faith when he denied his Lord with oaths and curses. Dear friends, are we ready to judge another when they fail in such a way as Peter failed? Are we ready to point the finger and say, oh, what a dreadful thing he's done. I won't have anything to do with him anymore or her anymore. Dear friends, that's not the answer. That's not the exhortation of Scripture. How great a sinners are we. It should cause us to look within our own selves. Consider our faults, our failings, our shortcomings. And if we have not committed the sin which another commits, oh, to be thankful for God that he has kept us from it. Because we're just the same in our hearts. And to pray for them that the Lord will have mercy upon them and deliver them and bring them to true godly repentance. Oh, pray one for another. And how do we pray for such sinners? Well, we pray as Jesus prayed again. In that lovely prayer to his Father. Father, I would that those that believe on me through their word, that means the word of the disciples who he was to send forth, those who believe on me through their word shall be one, even as we are one. One with Jesus, eternally one. One with the Father, such that none should ever pluck them out of his hand. None shall ever pluck them out of the Father's hand. Why not? Because Jesus has said, my sheep hear my voice. And dear friends, that's what we should pray for, isn't it, when others sin, that they may hear the Lord's voice of love and mercy that come from Calvary. Dear friends, this is the gospel. This is the Spirit of Christ. And if we've not the Spirit of Christ, we are none of his. Oh, let that solemn truth sink into our hearts. If we've not the Spirit of Christ, we are none of his. And the exhortation in elsewhere of many of Paul's epistles, isn't there? Oh, to conduct ourselves in the way that makes for peace. That makes for peace. Pray one for another. There's an exhortation just before it, isn't there? Confess your faults one to another. Oh, dear friends, that's humility. That's not easy to do. But in the unity of the Spirit of a church of Christ, that's how it should be. No glory to self. Oh, but to abase oneself if that is the necessary thing to do. Oh, that we're the chief of sinners, the least deserving of his mercies. Confess your faults one to another. And pray one for another that ye may be healed. Dear friend, when one confesses one's faults to another, oh, then does there be a united of prayer, unity of prayer, that there be the forgiveness of those sins. Dear friends, that's the unity of a church and of a people, determined to know nothing amongst them save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Oh, Jesus, this man shall be the peace. Yes, that's when the enemy, the Assyrian, shall come into the land, dear friends, and he'll come in to churches and amongst the Lord's people to cause much strife and much division. But pray one for another, that we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in that last day. We're all heading, aren't we, towards the last day. Some of us will be taken from time to eternity earlier than others. We shall be laid in the grave, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. But dear friends, our soul, oh, our spirit to return to God who gave it. And that will be judged in that last day. And what will happen in that last day? All sins and iniquities will be made known through the books which have recorded everything that we have done. Laid before Almighty God, and there'll be the condemned condemnation into the lake of fire. Except those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Dear friends, that's what we're to pray for, one for another. That their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That they know Jesus Christ, their Lord and their Saviour. That it was He who was made sin for them. That they might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That He poured out His soul unto death for them, crying, "It is finished." Their sins blotted out as a thick cloud, to be remembered no more than the power of His resurrection. Oh, that gives eternal life. "Because I live," He said, "ye shall live also." Now we're to pray one for another these great blessings. And then, dear friends, also in the daily life. Oh, we read, "My God shall supply all your need, according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And dear friends, we're to pray the same. And in praying the same, it's not just prayer, but it's doing also. The Lord may use us to, in answer to many of our prayerful desires. But if one comes before us in great need, then we are to supply that need if we've got it by us. If we do not, now dwelleth the love of God within us. We do not just send them away with a prayer. Oh, James is quite strong on this, isn't he? "I will show thee my faith by my works." And that's to be a work of love. Not a work to gain honour and glory and self-esteem, no. To walk in love as Christ hath loved us. He did not do it for His own gain, did He? No, but to walk in love, prayerfully, and in the providential gifts that we can do to help one another in life's pathway. That is the Spirit of Christ. Well, dear friends, this is exhortations, aren't they, left for our learning. And dear friends, I need these in preaching as much as you do. Oh, may the Lord grant us the unity of His Spirit, the bond of His peace. May He be a wall of fire around about us, keeping Satan from our midst, granting that sweet presence of Christ amongst us and within us. "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray." Yes, we pray for ourselves. And in praying for ourselves, oh, as we're in unity of the Spirit one with another, to the honour and glory of Christ's name, pray one for the other. "Oh, that ye may be healed." Dear friends, that means those for whom we pray for, and ourselves also, healed from all sin. That we may be found accepted in the Beloved at the end of our days. Continue in prayer. Pray without ceasing. The Lord grant His help by His Spirit to us. Pray one for another. Amen.